The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, man?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. Never been better. Beautiful day today.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, not bad.
Yesterday was nice, too.
Yep.
What else is going on? Like, you got a new hat?
Well, no. I've had, like, you noticed my shirt the other day.
Well, look like you're wearing new shoes, new hat.
Yeah, no, I had these in this closet downstairs that I never went to, but, I paid this nice lady to, like, organize my closets.
And this was, like, a while ago?
Like, 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Oh, recently, okay.
Yeah, and then she's like, I did the one downstairs, too, and I was like, oh, damn, I haven't been down there in, like, since I got divorced, maybe.
Yeah. You know,
like, I
just haven't gone years.
Down to that extra bedroom, and I went down there, and there was, like, all these shirts and hats and stuff that I hadn't worn in years. So
it's a good feeling.
I was just like, oh, look, I'll start wearing these. Perfect.
I took a bunch of stuff at some point, and I was like, I'm going
to this was just sitting up on top, like, with four or five other hats.
It looks good. It looks good. I've got a bunch of stuff in the basement, too, and I didn't used to do that, but at some point, I have no room, because our house is old, so the closets are small.
Right.
They're not like walk-in closets. They're impossible to get to. So there's no room in them. So I was like, man, I don't have room for winter stuff. I'll just put it all away. Well, now I forget that I put that stuff away.
That's the same thing.
So I went down there. I'm like, I have a... Are these new clothes? Are they old clothes? Yep. I don't remember. I need to wash these. Well, you look good, man.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. As do you.
It's a big week.
For what?
Well, the teams landed in New Orleans yesterday, so... The Chiefs and the Eagles.
Oh, I don't pay attention to football.
Oh, I thought you were a big fan.
No.
I thought you were a big fan. They say it's one of the biggest weeks in sports, maybe the biggest week.
Oh, really?
And certainly the biggest week in football, maybe the biggest week in sports. I mean, I saw other big sports news, too, but I guess we don't care about the NFL. I thought you liked that Pete Carroll guy.
I do like Pete Carroll. That is true.
I mean, that seemed like kind of big
that
news.
That NBA trade.
And then the Luka thing, yeah.
Like, everybody's talking about it. I'm like, I don't know.
The biggest... That's another one that kept saying
the
biggest NBA surprise of all time. It said maybe the biggest in sports. I heard that at least a dozen times this morning. And I was like, but why? I know Luke. I don't know anything about the NBA. I know Luke is good.
Yeah, he's really good.
But, I mean, aren't they both good? I don't know.
Yeah,
they're both.
I think so. I think Anthony, I heard people say it's like trading maybe like Mahomes or Josh Allen for Matt Stafford.
Okay.
Like, they're both good, but one's a little bit older. You're right.
Yeah, Luka's like 25, right?
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know much about Anthony Davis. What do I know?
I don't know anything about basketball. But, I mean, you know, I know there's a white guy that's really good at basketball, and his name's Luka. And, Shane Gillis says, usually if there's a white guy that's good at basketball, they're not American.
No, right.
The audacity to think that you could be good at basketball in this country when you're a white guy out there on the court. So I know Luka's good. I know that I don't know that he's young. I think he's pretty young, but they both seem young to me. I don't know.
I think Anthony Davis is older.
He's older?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Because in my I can still see him playing college basketball. Didn't he play in Kentucky or something, right?
Man, you're way ahead of me then.
I just remember him being really big in college, like during March Madness. Yeah, because he's got that unique look with the eyebrows and all that.
Yeah, the brow. They call him the brow. But I don't remember.
I feel like he was a wildcat or something.
I trust you.
We'll go with that.
Time for a smoke break.
Fire it up.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Well, Laszlo, I know you say you don't have time for dating.
I don't.
And I get it. But I wonder, if you had $1 million, would you change your mind? Because there is a company that just launched called 3-Day Rule that people are talking about on social media. Did you see this? Well, I guess a little bit on the news, too. They're based out of L.A., not all that surprising. Most of their customers, and the thing I read they said, are L.A., San Francisco. It cost you $1 million, but it's like a $1 million tender, right? They're there to find you the one if you got $1 million. It's a 12-month program, and the price tag covers the salaries of three different people, okay? So here's what you get for a million. You get a dedicated recruiter, which I think having a dedicated recruiter in life would be amazing. Like if I was rich, someone to help you find a job. If you're rich, I guess you don't need a job. Right. But the like recruiters for jobs, I always think like Brooke's looking for a job right now. I'm like, get one of those.
Recruiters?
She's using like software or AI or whatever, and I get that because she loves AI. But I'm like, there's got to be like an agent that you can hire that's just a general agent to help you find a job. And the ones I've found online, a lot of them are like maybe for part-time work, whatever, temp work.
Oh, right.
I'm just like, man, it would just be nice if we had a recruiter that could help all those tough things.
Them.
But yeah, I'm sure they do work. And now with this company, you'd have a dedicated recruiter that helps you, you know, find love. They fly around the country, okay? The recruiter does. They go to bars. They go to gyms. They go to concerts. All the spots that
you think.
That
sounds like a good job.
No kidding. I mean, right. I don't know what kind of salary they're getting personally out of the million, but you know, it sounds like a good job.
Well, splitting it between three, right?
They're going around to find you this perfect match, and you get unlimited matches with full. I heard the CEO, I'll play a clip from an interview he did earlier where he was talking about, you know, if you want like a we'll do a criminal background check, we'll do a credit score background check, that sort of stuff, you know, whatever you want. So one person is a dedicated recruiter. The second person is a matchmaker. They make sure that you're paired with the right people, and they also plan out your dates to the, you know, nth detail. It's all done for you. So you're going to dinner at this time, whatever, and they take care of all of it. They pick the right place. So my question is, one thing I don't understand, you have this dedicated recruiter. They go find people around the country, gyms, whatever. Like, so then they say what? Oh, this person looks like they'd be good for my client. They invite them to go on a date with you in L.A. or whatever? Or are they doing all of this within the area? And then they just say, okay, we'd like you to meet a client of ours who is single, and we think he'd like to meet you. Would you be interested? And if they say yes, then it goes to the matchmaker, and the matchmaker's job is to, then I guess, look the person over and be like, let me see if this person is good enough. And then they're the ones who set up all the dates. So that's the second person. Then the third person is a dating coach. So it is kind of like one of those job things. You've got someone who helps you
with the interview, help you with the resume,
and then helps you find the job. So the dating coach works with you, and they also works with your dates. So I guess they'll talk to your date about, they said they'll talk to your date about clothes and hair and stuff like that. So I don't know if that means if I tell this company,
tell you what
I like, then they tell the prospective, you know, match.
That seems like a lot of work, man.
For who? The client or for this company?
The client. Like, just a lot of, like...
If they're doing all this for you, if I say, here's $1 million, and the next thing they say, you have a date at this time.
Yeah, but then, somewhere, then you got to meet them, and you got to go to dinner at this time. Like, it's still a lot of work for you.
I guess, but it's less work than going out and trying to
find
someone.
You got to really want a date.
That's my thing.
Like, I don't know that I really want to date that much. Like, what? I don't know.
My final thought is...
$1 million, I'd like for you to do other stuff, maybe.
Is any love worth, like, $1 million for you to find? Because if you can find it, I should probably be able to find it. And how much stress are you saving me, really, if, like you say, you're telling me I have to be at the certain place at this time, and this is the date. Although... I assume since I'm the one paying the $1 million, maybe I tell you what I'm interested in.
I'm sure.
Here's what I'd like to do for dates. And they go, okay. And then they settle that stuff up. I love the idea that they're telling the other person, hey, you might want to do your hair this way. Obviously, this is only how someone would respond when they know that there's a rich person interested in them.
You really have to want to meet someone. Like, look, I don't have any problem meeting someone. But it's like, I mean, I don't know. That's more for somebody like you.
Like me?
Yeah, you always have to be in a relationship. You want to be with someone.
Yeah,
like
I like relationships.
I feel like I'd pay $1 million, they'd find the perfect person, and then after a month, I'd be like, I'm so over this. Right? Like, I don't want to be around you.
I didn't think it would be something
perfect,
to be excited
about.
And
I'm like, yeah, so what? Like, I don't know, man. I'm a different cut type of guy, man. I'm a hard guy to date, and I don't mind being alone.
I get it.
I don't mind being alone. I do not have to be in love. I don't need any of that stuff.
I know there are a lot of people who are single and feel at least somewhat like yourself, where they say, I'm okay alone. The only way I can imagine paying $1 million is if maybe you're just so rich and you've been using Tinder, whatever. $1 million is nothing. You think, I'll try this out. Or the other thing is, and I have seen this, where these people, they get to somewhere in their 30s, they've got this plan. I wanted to get married. I wanted to have kids. And now they're worried that time's running out. Right. Oh, my gosh, I haven't met the right person yet. I got to meet someone. My biological clock is ticking, all those things. The person on the receiving end of this, if someone comes up to you and says, I think you'd be good. I work for this company. Let me just say
that maybe I'm just a little jaded, too. I think if you got $1 million to pay this company, you could probably meet someone.
Exactly.
Like part of the problem with meeting someone is, you know, the level to entry barrier is high. So it's like, well, but if you have, I'm guessing if you live in L.A. and you have an extra $1 million to throw these people, I'm guessing you know where to go to the right places to talk to the right, but I don't know, talk to somebody on the movie set or whatever. Like, there's not a shortage of pretty women in L.A. who wouldn't mind dating a guy who's got an extra $1 million.
Exactly. Now, that's my final thought on this whole thing, was the idea of, if I'm pitching this business, and I'm in a room full of people, and I say, I've got this idea, we'll be the most exclusive dating site, we'll send out these recruiters, it'll cost $1 million. As soon as I get to that, I would think everyone in the room goes, people who have $1 million to spend on something like this don't need help meeting someone.
You wouldn't think so.
Now, I don't know, maybe this is like, I really do want to find the one. I really am too busy to date. And so you guys go out there. I got to know, though, that the person, if they're getting their hairstyle and all these things by this company just so they can meet me, then they're already meeting me because they know I'm rich anyway.
Of course.
It's not like that would work in any other setting.
No.
Hey, I work for a dating company. I got a guy. What's he look like? No. I don't know. He's 5'7". And
so you know he's got money.
And then
the other thing is, if you don't have time to date, then you probably, you know, I hate to sound like this, but then you probably don't have time to invest in the relationship to make it work anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So if you don't have time to actually go out and meet someone, then what makes you think you're going to have time to, like, I don't know, come home and be a decent partner?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm busy.
I do think
I was so busy that I wasn't able to meet you.
Right.
Now, like, you came into my life, now I'm less busy? I'm not any less busy.
No, but could that person be... could they stick around because of the money? I do think that's possible.
Of course, but if that's the case, you can find anybody for the money.
That's just it.
Right.
So, yes, if you're too busy to date, like you said.
And to find the right person, you got the money. They're dating you for the money anyway, and then who cares?
Well, and look, for people who think that sounds expensive to have someone go out, I feel like I could find someone. They say if you get engaged in less than 6 months, they throw in a 3-carat diamond ring.
Oh, isn't that nice of them?
So that's nice. I don't know. What's that?
Whatever.
What's that worth? How much is 3 carats worth?
I have no idea.
$5,000, $10,000, something like that. I don't know. Why do I have to be in less than 6 months? You should give me the wedding ring. If I'm giving you $1 million and you're giving some people an engagement ring, then you better throw in one for all of those, especially if it takes me longer.
You buy your own engagement.
Right, I'm not impressed by a 3-carat diamond ring or whatever.
Big, but I don't know.
I think it's big for people like us. I think it's big.
Yeah.
I think for a rich person, I don't think that's that crazy. Well, maybe that's what they buy when they're rich. I don't know. Here's one of the CEOs talking about this company.
We have a huge client base in San Francisco and in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley. Usually it's someone that hasn't really prioritized love and prioritized maybe career or other parts of their life ahead of love. Wherever your person is, we will be there finding them for you. We get them, we chat with them, and then we vet them through social media, through background checks, and potentially credit checks if you're interested in that as well. So a thorough background check.
Okay, so get this. Right, yeah. They say they've got 84% client satisfaction. Okay, but of how many people? At least on their website, when I looked at it, they said that they had over 250,000 singles. How can that be?
Wait, so
that's got to be
$1 million.
There's
no way.
That's got to mean that they have access to 250,000 singles that they can go out and look at, right? Is that what they're saying? Like, there's this many people in this age range that we know are single. Because
there's also a dating app for those people.
I know there was already that rich person dating
and
app.
Celebrity.
Yeah,
like it's rich people celebrity, and they you put your name in, and then they're like, either you can join or you can't.
That's where we talked about that.
Matthew Perry was caught hitting on somebody.
Was that what he was using?
Remember? Yeah, it was that. And Ben Affleck, they caught him on it talking to somebody.
Oh, I do remember Ben Affleck.
Right,
using
it's this website. Yeah.
I do remember
you're not
the app.
To be on it.
You have to be a celebrity, I think.
Yeah,
or at least very rich. But you did try and get on there. Yeah,
they put me on a waiting list and never came back.
I mean,
I really wanted to date Drew Barrymore.
You got a radio show.
That's what I thought. Like I just say, you know, syndicated radio.
She's got
host.
A TV show. It's on like around the same time.
I said syndicated radio host, but
come on,
they didn't let me on.
You sure? You sure you didn't miss an email? That would suck if they sent you something, because I could definitely see us missing that email.
I would like to update Drew Barrymore.
Do they let you look to see who's on there?
I think it's the same as, like, I don't know exactly. I didn't get on the site.
Yeah.
But the way they explained it is that, you know, it's basically like Bumble or Tinder or any of the other ones. It's just celebrities
people you
on
recognize.
There.
Yeah, it'd be pretty awesome. Well, if anyone's got $1 million and they're interested in this, whatever you want to call it, dating organization. 3-day rule is the name of it. Mm. And, you know, they'll find you the one. The job, though. And you already said it. The job of going out to look.
Being the
to go work.
Be a great
in, yeah. And they're like, hey, we need to hire some more recruiters. Okay. And who am I looking for? This millionaire woman or guy. Great. You're going to go to concerts and bars and all these places, just headhunt? That sounds like fun. I would do that, but I don't see anywhere that they're hiring.
Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. The news.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, I wish there was someone here who was kind of a sports fan, because I know you're not into this stuff, but it is a big week for the NFL.
Mm.
The Super Bowl is this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's the Chiefs and the Eagles. I saw people on TV saying, the Eagle has landed. Ha, ha, ha. It seems like a lot of people are rooting for the Eagles. We knew that would happen, right? People are tired of the Chiefs. They're the villains.
Yeah.
They're trying to do something that shall not be mentioned. I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm trying to remember how I've felt about every time they've...
You've got to be pretty excited.
It is exciting, but the level of confidence. And weirdly, I don't know why, last year I felt the most confident. Maybe it was because of that AFC Championship game. Because the team had kind of... You know, they had moments last year where you were like, this team's not headed to a championship game. And then they turned things around. And after that AFC game, I don't know, last year I just felt like they're going to win. They're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure the other years I've been extremely nervous, and I always think,
well, what about this year?
I feel that way. I feel nervous. Like, oh, man.
Well, they won those years anyway, so what's the matter?
I know. And I've noticed that it's all anybody wants to talk about. I get a lot of messages from people on Instagram talking about theories and... You know, the Chiefs have got this, and it's almost like people can tell that I'm a little bit anxious. I don't know how, because I'm obviously not putting it out there until now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like you can't complain if the Chiefs lose if you're a Chiefs fan, because you're watching this incredible run, and you've had these incredible years. I mean, if it ends with them losing this game, and then they don't make it to the playoffs again for 10 years, if that were to happen, you still can't complain.
That's not going to happen.
I know.
I mean, they might lose, but they're not going to not make it to the playoffs.
I know. I'm trying not to upset you. I'm just saying, if they don't win this year, then, you know, they'll win it next year. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's hard to complain. It's like we constantly create these new records that have to be broken. Here's the reason that it matters. It's because this has never been done. This thing has never been done. What if they do it? That would be something that even the greatest dynasties have never done before.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, okay, yeah, but can we really be that upset as fans? If they lose, you can be sad, but you think they're going to win, right?
No.
You said you thought they were going to win. I thought you said they were going to win. Maybe that was the AFC Championship.
The Eagles money line and Saquon over two touchdowns.
You would.
Countdown to Super Bowl 59. 6 days to go now. The teams arriving in New Orleans. Chiefs, Eagles. They arrived yesterday to kick off the NFL's biggest week of the year. One of the biggest weeks in general.
I like that Craig Melvin guy on the Today Show because he's a Chiefs fan.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. He's like the new host, and I found he's a Chiefs fan. I guess his kid's a Chiefs fan or something. So, most people I see on TV are Eagles fans, which makes sense because there's a lot of people. I don't know if they're actual Eagles fans, but they're rooting for the Eagles.
Sure.
There are a lot of people on the East Coast, and I'm sure...
I felt like... I have a buddy of mine who's a Giants fan. He's like, and he hates the Chiefs. Lives here, but he's like, I'm rooting for the Chiefs.
He is.
Because I hate the Eagles that much.
That's the only way I was thinking that you could get people to root for the Chiefs outside of actual Chiefs fans.
Right.
Is someone who just really hates the Eagles.
Cowboys fans, Giants fans.
What is their single biggest rival?
Probably the Giants, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Giants and Cowboys, probably.
So Laszlo says... Saquon's going to win the game, and you should put your money on however many points. Eagles.
Money line, Saquon.
What about your kids? What do they think?
I'll talk to them.
They're good sports prognosticators. What about your youngest? He's a Chiefs fan.
He says the Chiefs are going to win, of course.
He feels confident about
it?
Okay. How's your son feel about these tariffs? Because people seem to be a little nervous about these tariffs.
He hasn't mentioned them to me.
What are the boys saying? Oh, they haven't even brought it up.
Uh-uh.
You know, that'd be good with me. Let's just not talk about it. If gas prices go up or whatever, I just assume that someone's up there taking care of things, trying to correct an issue. I did see a lot of Republicans. A lot of Republicans are mad about it. But, of course, they're on TV saying, just wait. This is going to wreck your wallet. Everything's going to cost more. You won't be able to get fruit. Gas is going to go up 50 cents a gallon. I mean, they just go on and on and on. Trump wants to impose these tariffs on Canada and Mexico and China, right?
Well, I heard the Mexico one's off.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, because he met with the president of Mexico. And the president of Mexico was like, I'll send 10,000 troops to the Mexican border, keep our people here. And then Trump was like, fine, we will we'll not put the tariffs in for a month, and you'll have to meet with, I don't know, Marco Rubio or somebody, and we'll figure it all out.
Okay, but so, because my understanding was that it's like if it happens, but that it could still happen that Trump still wants the tariffs. You're saying that after this meeting, it looked like Trump's backing
Trump
down.
Said, the,
okay.
Because they did what he wanted.
Okay.
Then he'll. But I think the tariffs are still in for Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know what we get from Canada.
A lot of oil, apparently, and a lot of fruits and vegetables. And then
Canada?
Yeah, Canada's boycotting American goods right now. I don't know.
So lots of stuff that you use every day. I think we import 40% of our fresh fruit and vegetables, right? We're talking fruits and vegetables, meat, gas, cars, electronics, lumber, beers and spirits. The North American market in particular is very, very integrated, especially on cars. When you look at gasoline and oil, people are very, very sensitive to oil and gas prices. The U.S. imports 4.2 million barrels of Canadian oil a day. That forecast is you could add 15 to 25 cents a gallon on gas.
Okay, they said that there's multiple, they didn't say where, refineries in the Midwest that only refine Canadian oil. There's pipelines coming from Canada, and that's all they do. So with these tariffs, they don't know if these refineries are just going to shut down or if they're going to pay more for the oil. The whole oil thing confuses me anyway, because you hear, I know that they import a lot of that oil from Canada. It comes from the oil sands, right? You see that right. stuff on TV. But then I also hear that the United States pumps so much oil ourselves that we sell it.
No, we don't know what to do with it. Right,
right, so we sell it, but then we buy it from somebody else. I don't understand
smart
that.
I have to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. Those are like hedge fund managers that would understand
right,
that, right?
Yeah.
If I said, hey, why do we have this?
I understand why they're robbing us at the pump.
Why do we sell all of this excess oil that we produce
we
to other countries, but then we buy it from
right.
the oil sands in Canada, which I think is really expensive to extract.
That is true. 100% of Labatt Blue does come from Canada, and that is mm-hmm. problematic. I do like Canadian beer.
Yeah, you're a Michigander, so there's, you know, I'm sure a lot of people in Detroit, there's a lot of Canadian goods that sit there on the shelves that we see
sure.
here a little bit, but not like you see in Detroit.
Sure.
A lot of Canadian beer.
A lot of Canadian
beer. The lumber thing is big. I did hear people talking about lumber, because there was an issue with lumber, I don't know, guys, tell me when that was, 10 years ago, whenever it was, lumber got so expensive. Look, I've never built anything in my life. But I do remember that it was a big enough deal that everyone was complaining about the prices of lumber. You remember that?
Not anything you'll hear me complain about.
Me neither. But you know, I feel for you guys if you gotta, you know,
buy lumber.
If you gotta buy lumber, it's just that's not what we do. We don't really do anything. So we see this stuff in the news. I do buy gas. That's why they always bring up gas, because they know we all buy gas
and eggs,
right? And eggs, yeah. But that's the bird flu issue, right? So that's that's a separate. They can excuse that for the bird flu instead of the tariffs. So yeah, I don't know what's going on with the tariffs, but I saw a bunch of Republicans are mad about it. Trump's like, we're doing it. Lazo mentioned this thing with the troops at the border, and I saw that that was happening, but I thought that they were saying we're going to, you know, decide on this later, but you definitely read into it more. It sounds like, okay. So we'll just get the Canadian tariffs and the Chinese tariffs. And
I guess, yeah.
They said on TV, some guy, he looked smart. I don't know if he was a hedge fund manager, but he sounded smart. And he said, don't kid yourself. This is a trade war that has started now, a full on trade war. Okay. I don't know.
Well, it's not.
Can we make money?
I don't know what we get from Canada, lumber and gas.
And oil, yeah. They said a bunch of fruit. What fruit are they growing up there? Why don't we grow fruit here?
Why don't we? You think you could grow more fruit in Southern California?
Right. They, you know, Orange County used to be all fruit, and then they built a bunch of houses. So
it still feels like we have the weather for it, as opposed to Manitoba. I don't feel like you can grow a goddamn grapefruit in Manitoba.
That seems odd.
Medicine Hat,
yeah.
Saskatchewan. I don't think there's anything there.
I'm not trusting that lady. Now the avocados from Mexico. That's I've heard before.
But
that's like all
Mexico.
Of them. So, yeah, but for right now, we're good with Mexico. I don't eat a lot of avocados. I don't hate avocado. I'm not a big guac guy. You like guac?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if they said, like, avocados are so expensive, you can't buy them, I'd be fine.
An avocado, but, yeah, I don't remember last time I bought one.
I'm not losing any sleep over it. The big, big story today, Laszlo, in the sports world is not that the Chiefs and the Eagles are in New Orleans getting ready. That should be the biggest story of the week, but there was a major trade in the NBA. The most surprising trade in NBA history and one of the most surprising trades in sports history. Dallas trades Luka to the Lakers. That's your headline. And in return, they get Anthony Davis, the guy with the eyebrows.
Yeah.
And they're both good, but Lazo pointed out earlier, Luka's younger. Yeah. Luka's like,
and he's better.
He's a star. What'd you say they compared it to? It's like trading Mahomes
for Allen for
Stafford?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I just don't know anything about the NBA, but these people looked really surprised.
One of the most stunning trades in NBA history.
Doncic tries another three. Got it! Luka Doncic now with 27!
Just 7 months after the 25-year-old five-time first-team All-NBA Luka Doncic led the Dallas Mavericks to the NBA Finals, Dallas suddenly dealing Doncic to the LA Lakers for Anthony Davis. The seismic deal shaking up the NBA.
The line that I keep hearing is this is the most stunning, most shocking trade in NBA history.
I have to admit, he heard that from me because I've said it several times today. But it is stunning, shocking, probably the most. When's the last time you were really watching the Pistons and paying attention? 2003? Something like that?
2000.
Yeah. If they got really good.
They're not on TV all the time. Yeah. You know, that's the problem.
If there was a way, if they said, hey, you know, you can
watch
the
Pistons. I wouldn't buy an NBA League pass.
You wouldn't pay for it.
I'd watch the playoffs.
Yeah, let's just say that somehow it came with one of the streamers.
Yeah, and I'd watch it.
You would watch them?
I would think I'd probably watch the Pistons if it came for free.
Yeah.
But I'd find it hard to turn on a Utah Jazz San Antonio Spurs game. Like, I'd find it hard to turn it on and watch.
I always wish that Kansas City could get a basketball
game. I watched a little bit of that Phoenix Golden State game.
Yeah.
You know, I watched some of that.
Yeah. I don't know. I know it's a big deal in the news that a lot of the NBA games got moved to, NBC Sports? So that's moving to NBC. It's been on TNT forever, right? It was Warner Brothers. I know people love basketball. We have friends that love basketball. I kind of want to love basketball. And I always thought, well, I was so young when the Kings left. If Kansas City got a team again, I thought when they built the arena, I'll get into it. Because we lived in Seattle. I loved going to Sonics games.
That was
and
fun,
they were no good. But it didn't matter. It was still fun.
Yeah.
Would that wear off,
though?
Yeah. Was it just because I was getting these free tickets and I hadn't had a basketball team as an adult?
It was fun to watch them on TV, though. It felt like baseball, you know. If you're living in town with an NBA team, it's fun to watch them.
Yeah.
Especially right now, there's nothing else on.
I would prefer an NBA team over a hockey team, I think. Actually, maybe not. Hmm. We've had that discussion before. Maybe I do want a hockey team. We're not going to get either, though, are we?
No.
It seems like there's more hockey teams that are struggling that have all these rumors of moving than NBA teams, right? I don't keep up with the NBA, but you see a lot of stuff about hockey teams talking about threatening to leave.
Well, maybe we'll get one. I have no idea, though.
Would you watch that?
Yeah, of course.
Like if the Kansas City
Scouts, hockey would do better here.
You do?
I do.
Okay. I'll watch either. I don't know. I think once you have one more team, how many teams do you need to be an official city? You need three pro sports teams, or do you have to have four?
You got to have four.
You
three
have to,
to be a pretty major team, a city. Four. To be a major
metropolitan
city.
You got to have all of them. You got to have all of them.
You got to have all four to be a major metropolitan city.
And they don't count soccer because it's newer.
Yeah.
So you got to have hockey, baseball, football, and basketball.
To be a major metropolitan city. That is true. Name a major metropolitan city that doesn't have one. Name a major metropolitan city that only has two or three.
What about a city that's won two Super Bowls in a row?
They have a good football team.
Well, does that do anything for them? Does that increase their, you know, desirability?
I can't even listen to this garbage anymore. I listened to the morning show on The Fan, and the guy was like, they were talking about the trade, right?
Yeah, okay.
And it was like, and they were like, well, Luka will lose money on this deal. And then the guy was like, well, he won't lose money because he's going to one of the premier brands in
the
sports,
Lakers.
You know, so he'll get endorsements like the Lakers and the Dodgers and the Chiefs.
Oh, well, times
he was
Chiefs,
using
Lazlo.
The Yankees, the Lakers, the Dodgers. He just were like, you go to the Chiefs because that's where you're going to get the money. I'm like, okay,
there's a lot of Chiefs players on TV now. There didn't used to be.
There is, man. But I was like,
no, that's pretty funny.
Okay, we're saying the Chiefs are the Lakers.
Funny.
Is what we're saying.
Funny. Well, as soon as you get here, the endorsements just roll in.
Put my head out the window and rolled it up.
The Church of Laszlo. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill
murder hornets.
Herpes infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
All right, knocked us out, man.
Yeah,
let's
the rest
go.
Of the news. So, we had that plane crash in D.C.
Oh, yeah, and then there was one in Philadelphia.
Yeah, did you see the video of that?
No.
It was a medical emergency plane.
Was there somebody on it?
We'll get to that, because they say in this clip how many people were...
But was it somebody who was being med-lifted, or was it like a heart that was to a transplant?
I don't know. I just
that would suck.
If you thought, here comes my organ, it's on the way.
If you're already being med-lifted, then, I mean, that sucks that then the plane crashes. So, but you probably don't know.
Right.
But if you're waiting in a hospital, like, hey, we found you a pancreas.
Yeah.
And you're like,
on a list.
Sweet.
Waiting for years. Yeah, liver.
Your family's all there,
is.
And then the doctor comes in and goes like, hey.
Yeah.
I got good news and bad news. We found you a pancreas. The problem is the plane crash, and pancreas is in the streets of Philadelphia.
So my impression is that at least one of the people on that jet was like an injured patient.
Okay,
that was just I assumed that because I saw that there were five or six people.
Well, a kid from Mexico
on
who
the
just
plane.
Finished treatment was headed back to Mexico.
Okay, because there were. I think five or six people on the plane. And then, of course, there were people on the ground who got injured. There's multiple videos of this. The plane was only in the air for like 40 seconds, and then it nosedived. And yesterday, they were on the news saying, help us find the black box. Help us find the black box. This is what it looks like. And they showed people walking around in this giant crater in the street where the plane had crashed. But if you watch some of those videos of people, you know, there's Ring doorbell videos and dash cam video, people's reaction when they see that, because it's just... A fireball. You see this thing coming down, and there's a giant fireball. And if you look over and see that, and you're close to it, it looked like you're getting bombed.
Right.
So
sure.
I just assume that. I wonder if some of those people there, what those, you know, initial thoughts were when they first see that fireball, and then they see all of that debris flying towards them. It's crazy. I've never, like in my lifetime, I don't remember something like that.
New images of the force of impact from the deadly plane crash in Northeast Philadelphia. Investigators standing in the crater left behind. That's where they found a key piece of evidence, the cockpit voice recorder. The medevac plane nosedived less than a minute after takeoff before exploding Friday night. Officials now reporting that furious blast injured 22 people.
Okay, so everyone on the plane was from Mexico.
Okay.
And it says that they were, it was called Jet Rescue Air Ambulance. You know, when I think of air ambulance, I just think of the helicopters, right?
Sure.
It makes sense, I guess, that they've got airplanes. So it was traveling from Philly to Tijuana, Mexico, and it was supposed to stop in Branson, Missouri.
Okay.
I don't know exactly why, but... like I said, it took off and then immediately crashed. And I know that planes have crashed in residential areas. There's been videos.
Sure.
Once or twice a year, we see a Cessna that landed somewhere. There was one within the last couple years. It was right near the highway. But not like this, where there's that big fireball explosion and a huge crater in the ground. I mean, that was crazy. If that happened near your house... And you're just like some of these people that I saw in these videos, you're just walking out your front door and you look over. What would you think?
It'd be shocking.
Yeah. I don't know that I would. The obvious thing is that it's
Miles
a plane crash.
Tail?
It looked bigger than that, though, right? I think part of me would just be like, oh, somebody just blew something up. Like, you know, whether they're terrorists or not, somebody just blew something up. Or if you saw this thing falling from the sky, it looked like a bomb. But. They found the black box, so now they'll, you know, go through that, and I'm sure make an air disasters episode about it. But that is crazy.
Was there.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you earlier. They landed in New Orleans yesterday.
Cool glasses, bruh.
Dude, you just
need
to
stop. Saying I like his glasses. They're Oakleys. They look cool.
Yeah, I think he's got a sponsorship deal.
I said they look nice. I liked them. Glasses,
they might
bro.
Even be his glasses now. I'm not sure.
They're cool.
FBI employees, Laszlo. Very nervous.
Why?
One of the things I saw this morning, and I just wanted to find it again to make sure that I had a source here, that there are FBI agents who are, they claimed, gathering their stuff, packing up their stuff because they just know that they're going to get fired and haven't been fired yet. So most of the headlines talk about how these are FBI agents who worked on the January 6th riot at the Capitol.
Oh, okay.
And that maybe Trump is going after them. But also, this is a real headline. This is from Politico. They say FBI agents who were part of a secretive group investigating the surge of UFOs also could be on the chopping block. Why, I don't know, but I think it's because maybe, but a lot of them, it seems like we're also working on the January 6th cases. So I don't know if they're just trying to make a salacious headline because these people who happen to work on the January 6th cases also were, some of them were also in this UFO group, but that's another headline you'll see. So massive layoffs is what people are fearing in the FBI.
This morning, the fear of mass firings is swirling to the FBI, with some agents even preemptively packing up their desks.
This unease comes after President Trump publicly praised the firings of eight top FBI career executives. The Trump administration is quickly trying to reshape the agency shortly after granting those sweeping pardons to the January 6th riot.
Okay, I know you were kind of joking, but like the UFO thing that I was reading earlier, they're talking about this group and that they said the existence of this group had never been publicly disclosed, and so people could have an issue with that. I do remember when the FBI was one of the groups looking at UFOs, right? Or drones.
I've never scheduled UFO. You've been interested in UFOs like you have. You're like, I remember when the FBI.
I meant to say drones. When the drone thing was in the news, everyone kept saying we want answers.
Oh, right.
The FBI was one of them that was looking into it. I felt like that's the FBI said we're investigating it. So, and it seems like that's what they're talking about with this FBI UAP group, but I don't know. Anyway, if you're a UFO person, I'm sure this means that just more proof that the government knows that UFOs exist. If you work for the FBI or know someone who works for the FBI, I guess you're anxious about getting fired. They're trying to trim the fat, Lazo. Trying to cut spending. And you know who's trying to help is Elon. Because, you know, Elon's got that...
I didn't think we liked firing cops, though.
Well, but then the FBI went after Trump.
Aren't the FBI's cops?
So they stopped... I felt like they stopped being blue.
Oh.
Didn't you? Because it was like suddenly Republicans were mad at the cops, and the liberals were like, yeah, go get them. You know, supporting the cops. So that's when it felt like suddenly the FBI was no longer viewed as... The police? If you say back the blue, I guess that doesn't include the FBI. I don't you get that feeling now?
Yeah, and district attorneys.
Yeah.
Well, we don't like those. Yeah. We don't like those cops either.
No.
Because they are cops.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're cops. And, you know, most of the time when I see them on TV, I'm like, God damn it, man. Leave this person alone.
Yeah.
But I know they have a very important job to do. Blah, blah, blah. But Elon, you know, Elon wasn't elected to anything. He's just Trump's buddy.
Well,
but he's,
okay.
But he's heading up this Doge group or whatever. The Department of, I don't know, the thing to save money. He's trying to save a bunch of money, and he's been asking for access, or I guess granted access, into what they said are sensitive federal files that maybe
Elon
he shouldn't
Musk
have.
Elon Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency have promised to take a wrecking ball to the federal government, vowing to cut trillions of dollars in spending and to dramatically reduce the number of government employees. Now we have learned that his team has gained access to something extraordinarily sensitive, the system that the Treasury Department uses to disperse almost every check and expenditure of any kind made by the U.S. government.
Okay, so there you go. So you got some senators like, what's her name? Warren? Liz Warren?
Yeah.
She's, you know, questioning how Musk got access to this Treasury
Trump
payment system.
Because he's president.
Right, and to me, this is what we talked about.
Again, like, I'm no Trump guy, but we're like, how did he get this? Well, Senator Warren, I hate to tell you, like, and by the way, and people can get mad at me, I'm a Democrat. But there was an election, and Trump won. And if I'm correct, Senator Warren ran at one point and did not win. So how did he get this? Well, Trump didn't ask you.
Yeah, no kidding.
He didn't run it by you.
Yeah.
Why? Because Trump won. And people are like, well, nobody voted for Elon. Well, he was at every goddamn rally with Trump. Like, you knew what was coming.
I thought he might
this
end
wasn't
up being
like
his chief of staff.
It wasn't just like he just popped out of the
right.
out of a magic...
Elon!
out of a cake.
Right. Like,
dude said he was
Anna
giving
Nicole
him, like,
Smith.
$20 million a month or something. Like,
yeah.
What did we expect was going to happen? Look, I don't have to be happy about it to be, like, pragmatic about it and be like, Elon said he was giving him millions of dollars. He would give you millions of dollars, apparently, if you registered to be a Republican, I guess. And then Trump's like, hey, Elon's doing stuff. Like, of course he is.
Yeah, so my question to you is this the official
beginning?
Somebody
said $260 million total is what he gave him. Like, okay. What do we think? He wasn't going to?
He just does that for fun. Right. That he's just such good friends with them.
Right.
My question is this the official beginning of what I was talking about earlier? I've been waiting to see if the media is going to go Trump crazy again with Trump 2.0 or if they're going to calm down. But I saw enough stories today about Trump between the tariffs, the FBI, and the Elon thing. Those are three big stories all about Trump. And I thought, once I saw the Elon one, I was like, you know what? I think we're there. I think we're at the point the media is now
right
about back to where they were for Trump 1.0, right? And I don't know about you, Lazo. You said you're a Democrat. Either way, whether you're Republican or Democrat, aren't you tired of it? People really going home and watching CNN, and they just, and I don't watch CNN, so I don't know what they're doing, but I just imagine they're on there. MSNBC, I can imagine, at right least for sure, just going after him. Can you believe this? And then you've got people who say that they want to move to Canada to be Canadian citizens. Like, we went through this before. They talked to lawyers on the news who said they help people get citizenship, right? And they said, yeah, we've been getting, I don't know how many more calls now because of the election, of Americans wanting to become Canadian citizens.
What we're in right now is a period of heightened uncertainty all the way. And fear.
During the Biden administration, we probably got maybe one or two calls a month. Since the new administration has come into office, we've probably had maybe one to two a week.
People know what's coming. And because of that, they're far more motivated to move.
What is coming? COVID 2.0? Like, what is coming?
Also, like, I thought that was going to be different. When the Biden administration was here, we probably had one to two calls a month.
Yeah.
About being Canadian citizens. Now we have one to two a week. I'm right. Like, wait. So you have eight a month?
And the news
reported that. I get it. That's four times as many. But still, eight people a month doesn't seem like a lot. I thought you were going to say hundreds. We'd have one to two a month, and then now we have 8,000.
Right. 55 a week, 550. I don't know.
We just turned off our phones. Like, we don't have enough manpower to figure this out. But, like, they got eight. I don't know.
What that is, Lazo, is it a media outlet trying to find a way to create a headline that says, you know, Americans wanting Canadian citizenship, you know, right, numbers surge. That's what they wanted. They wanted that headline. Right. How did they get it? They poked around for a while until they found some lawyers who were like, yeah, we used to get two a month. Now we get two a week. And, like, that's all we need, right?
Yep.
And now you've got the headline. I don't know anybody who's trying to move to Canada. I know you're not allowed in Canada ever.
I'm not. It's so nice, though.
I've been there twice.
It's nice. It seems like a nice place.
But I do like getting back to the United States. You know, it's like getting, let me back in. When I come back on the border.
Nice, though.
It is very nice, but I'm not Canadian.
It's easy. They speak English. Nice.
I just don't know the rules. You know what I mean? Get me back into my country. Once they say,
we don't know the rules here now, anyway.
I have no idea. No idea. Oh. But it's fun, isn't it?
The Church of Laszlo.
Patrick the Goat. That's the headline on TV right now.
Oh. Yes.
It says, Mahomes has a long way to go to be mentioned with Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. I would think so, like, first off playing basketball.
Why didn't they mention Brady?
I don't know.
That seems weird. Yeah, those are both basketball players.
I think that's what Mahomes said. Mahomes said, I have a long way to go to be mentioned with MJ and Kobe.
Oh, I see. It's in quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so he didn't mention Brady.
Patrick,
he must
don't
be
think
better
that's
than Brady. I have no idea.
It probably won't come up often on sports talk shows, you know, debates about the all-time greatest NBA players. I don't see a way that you would get mentioned in that debate. I know earlier they were saying that Luka could, if he continues to play well, could be top 10 maybe of all time.
Maybe just talking about GOAT in sports.
Right.
So it would be MJ,
Brady,
Kobe, and Pat, I guess.
If he said MJ and Brady, that would make more sense.
Yeah,
right?
He left LeBron out of there.
Yeah.
And he left Brady out of there. So I don't know. He has a long way to go to be mentioned with MJ and Kobe.
Hmm. Okay. Well, you know, those are his words.
Big names.
Yeah, big names and his words, not ours. So tell me if this sounds reliable to you. University of Southern California and Carnegie Mellon University.
Those are big schools.
Right? This is not some
very picky
diploma mill where I found this study. This was a real study. They looked at over 43,000 business school graduates, okay? And they found that some of these people earned thousands more each year than their equally qualified colleagues, and that advantage grew stronger and stronger over time. So equally qualified, but this group is making a lot more money. What is it about them that causes them to be so much more successful than their, you know, skill equivalent peers?
Are they tall?
You're getting close.
They're tall?
it could be part of it. They're attractive.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. This is what they do. Is it, you get federal money for this sort of a study?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how school works. But seriously, 43,000 business school graduates, the attractive ones earned thousands more each year than the less attractive ones. People rated as attractive, so they went through all the people, you know, they had a bunch of people look at pictures. Are they attractive or not attractive? How would you rate
them? Sure.
So the people who were rated as attractive,
they made more money,
were 53% more likely to land prestigious positions, leading to an average bump in salary of over $2,500 per year. But for the most attractive individuals, that percentage goes way up. So think about where you work. Think about the attractive people that work with you. Think about how they're doing. And then think about the most attractive person that you work with. And think about, you know, are they doing well at their position? Are they considered a good, whatever, you know, that position is? Are you thinking about it?
I can't think of anyone overly attractive here.
Sure you can. Yeah, you can. But, I mean, you know, I get it. This is more like if you're working in a big office with a lot of people. But for those people, I'll bet they can think of someone who's pretty attractive, and then they can think of that person that's really, really attractive. Because the people who are rated as attractive, yeah, that person's good looking. Okay, they make $2,500 more a year, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's not the end of the world. Really, being ugly is a bigger detriment than just not making that $2,500. You know, it's not like, oh, I'd trade you the $2,500. No, because it affects everything I do. Everywhere I go.
Yeah, I'd trade the $2,500 to be handsome.
Exactly. And then some.
Yeah.
So, you know, they act like this is a devastating news. We know, as unattractive people, we already know this. And you learn it at a young age. I think you learn it probably in elementary school, but certainly by high school, when you start to look at that popular group of kids, you start to look at the prom king and queen, you know that you're not prom king material.
Yeah.
And you know that the guy who was,
yeah,
he's doing, and if you get on Facebook now, how's the prom king doing? You know, people always say, oh, I'd love to get on Facebook and see how poorly all those popular kids were doing in school. I always hear that. Well, that's weird, because when I go on my Facebook,
still doing pretty good.
Those attractive people, they look like they're doing pretty well.
Or some of the attractive people, unattractive people are doing pretty well, but they're super attractive now. Something happened.
Yeah.
So you're like, yeah, well, once they got into college, they became super attractive, and nobody knew that they were unattractive in the eighth grade. So whatever.
Man, we had a girl in high school. I think I went to junior high with her, too. But she was quiet, very sweet, very petite. She wasn't unattractive. She's no one. She wasn't like a head turner or anything, right? And I didn't think much of her. She was just a quiet, nice girl, and I had quite a few classes with her over time. Our senior year, this girl shows up. She got a convertible, and she shows up to school, and it was like all of a sudden, everyone realized, this girl is beautiful.
Because of the convertible?
I mean, no, it was just, I just remember seeing her in that convertible, and my friends, everyone's like, God, isn't that crazy? Because everyone at school was talking about how beautiful this girl was, and we'd known her for years. And again, never thought that she was, like, unattractive.
It was a convertible.
But, yeah, maybe it was a convertible. But she, like you're talking about, grew into this. She peaked at around 18.
What does she look like now?
And I don't know. I don't know. I could look her up, I guess, on Facebook. But she, based on how she looked at 18, she probably still looks pretty good at 40. You know what I mean? You went to school with some of those, right?
Good for her.
And you probably went to school with ones who, the most popular girl in my grade, I went to elementary school with her. No one thought much of her in elementary school. She was nice, again, but no one was like, oh, she's so hot. Look at her. By high school, she was like Britney Spears. I mean, she was showing up to football games in these, like, Tommy Hilfiger things with their midriff, you know, and I mean, everyone talked about her. Everyone talked about how beautiful she was. So she peaked in high school, you know?
No, maybe, maybe not. What's
maybe
she
not.
Like now?
She looks pretty good. And I will tell you this. I ran into her one time. It's been 7-8 years ago. But I ran into her one time down on the plaza, and she came up and talked to me.
Yeah?
She came up to me.
And?
Yeah. She's like, hey, Reed, how are you? Oh, my God.
Talk to her?
And she had some girl with her that I didn't know, and she acted like she was excited to talk to me. I didn't talk to her in school.
Did you make out with her?
No. It was just, it was crazy that she talked to me.
Did you try to?
No. I didn't get that vibe. I don't know. I'm bad at reading those situations, though.
Yeah, maybe
I think she might be divorced or something.
Perfect.
So maybe that's why. I'm not sure. But yeah, what about you? The good-looking people at your school, were they successful? Or did they stop being attractive? I understand there are good-looking people you go to school with that you see them as they get older, and you're like, oh, they're not as attractive.
Yeah.
But there's also, like you said, the opposite.
Yeah. No, I think they're all...
If I scroll through my friends list and look at the people who are...
It's hard to tell, really, because everybody only, like we talk about, people only put the good stuff up anyway. So you're like, meh,
yeah,
okay.
To know what they look
but
like.
But when I look at him, I'm like, okay, well, that dude doesn't look as good as he did, but his wife's pretty hot and... Looks like he's got a couple kids, and I don't know, they were just at the Jelly Roll concert or something, so they must have some expendable money, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I just scroll on. That's it.
Yeah. Well, they said if you are rated as the most attractive, so this is the group of people that I guess are tens, they're perfect tens, the most attractive actually make more than 10% more than you or I do.
Okay.
And it jumps to like $5,500 or more per year for those attractive people. They came up with a name for it. They call it the attractiveness premium.
Mm.
They say it shows up across different industries, but not always in the same way. Fields involving lots of face time with clients and colleagues, like management, consulting, sales, right? You just think about those things. I mean, you've worked a bunch of jobs before you got into radio. They showed the biggest benefits of being attractive. So if you're an attractive person, they say there's certain roles that you should go to. You know if you're attractive by the time you're an adult.
Sure.
You know. Okay. Even if you're humble, you know. So, you know, maybe don't go sit somewhere where you're working alone in an office all day.
Go out. Meet people.
You need to be out
where
you're face to
face.
Exactly. And you make a bunch more money. The attractiveness premium. You know, it's an impossible thing to, like, become attractive when you're not attractive. So it's kind of hard to fantasize about, you know, what if I was good looking? What if one day...
Well, I think you're good looking.
Oh, well, thank you. You too. But you get what I'm saying.
Sure.
Like those people that people just look at them when they walk into a room. It's a totally different life. And I cannot believe that the University of Southern California and Carnegie Mellon had to spend money to look at this and go, hey, guess what, guys?
Right. Good looking people,
make more money.
Yeah, they're happier.
And, oh, yeah, they're happier too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's best if they're in a position where people look at them a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thanks. And the people who are more likely to get promoted all the way to the top, they're attractive. Yeah, thank you. We know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like being short. My brother complains about being short all the time. I don't think he's short. I've never thought of him as short. I've never thought of you as short. But now that's become this big thing because of dating apps or whatever that these girls say no one under whatever.
Right.
And so, you know, my brother now, I don't remember him ever talking about his height. But I'm like, you're not short. And he gets so angry. He's like, it's easy for you
because
you're not
tall.
Short. I'm like,
right.
I'm just saying I don't view you as short. He's like, women do.
Yeah.
I'm like,
okay. I think everybody does.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I mean, I never walk into a room and I'm the tallest guy.
But I would never describe my brother as a short guy. Hey, he's a short guy.
Right.
Would you? To me, that's a different thing. But
well, I wouldn't because he's taller than me. But
I think you're the same height, aren't you?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're about the same height. I don't know. But my point is that you have to live that experience.
But if someone asked you, you would. Like, if you are trying to describe it, they're like, taller guy, shorter guy? You'd be like, oh, shorter guy.
Average. I just assume he's average height. I don't know. How tall are you? Aren't you an average height?
I'm probably a little below average. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like my brother. So the point is you have to live it to know. I didn't realize my brother was experiencing this. He got very mad at me. And he's like, no, this is the world I live in. It's different than yours. And so I guess I take for granted this advantage I have. The one thing I have is being tall. But that's all I got. That's all I got. There are people who are tall and good looking.
Yeah.
And they're killing it. And I'm not mad at them. Whenever we talk about...
Oh, no. Genetic law. It's like, am I mad at Mahomes for being great at football? No.
No.
Now, look, I understand that Mahomes put a lot of work into being great at football, but he's also born with, you know... Yeah, something about him that made him more athletic than me.
Well, I think of it more as, like, I'm not mad
plus,
at...
Plus, then he put in the work. But, I mean, so, you know, for good-looking people, they're not making Mahomes money. They were just born good-looking. Good for them.
Yeah.
They hit the genetic lottery.
Right. And I'm not mad at movie stars who help get their kids into the industry, and now they're called Nepo babies. No, your family's in the industry. Take advantage of that. I'm not mad at cops who pull over another cop and go, oh, you're a cop. Okay. I'm not going to write you a speeding ticket. I'm not mad about that.
Mm-mm.
Everyone has their perks or whatever from their job or their spot in life. And attractive people just happen to get
more money, I guess.
Yeah, they get more money. And if you're attractive and have money, well, I can't even imagine. Because then what do you do? That's like total happiness, right?
Well, you would think so.
I don't know, man. I've seen some stuff online where there's no way to know if these people are telling the truth. But they ask, like, hey, let's find a guy who is really attractive. and we want to know what your life is like. And instead, what they found was a woman who said that she was married to a guy who was really attractive. And she said, you know, he would never answer this thing. But then she posted a picture of him, if it's really him. She tells this whole story about how when they go places, women come up to him. Women giggle, all of that. And then she gets very nervous when he goes out alone because he's so attractive. Can you imagine? Can you imagine walking into a bar and girls start giggling and looking at you? No.
Yeah, I mean, I can't.
That's
it's just a different
it's
giggle.
It's a different kind of giggle.
Oh, but I can, believe me, I can imagine.
The Church of Laszlo.
Man, that is so much better. I just hit my first go pack in a minute. Mitra-9.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite a word problematic. Man.
Quite a bit better.
I've been sucking down on some of those shots.
Yeah, not good.
That they sell at the gas stations. Man, they're not delicious.
Oh, no.
That thing was good.
Go packs are way better.
Yeah. Get yourself a go pack. You'll love it.
So. This is truly a scary story. I wasn't joking around when I said I got a scary story for you. This family, mom, dad, two kids, they take a vacation. I think they're from Toronto.
Okay.
They take a vacation to the Dominican Republic, to a resort there. Okay.
Of course, beautiful.
They call it a dream vacation.
Sure.
They get there and they go to the buffet to eat, right? The family all has some of the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
They get back to their room, and they all start feeling sick.
Okay.
So the dad, he calls, like, the office at the resort and says, hey, you need to send the medics or whatever, the nurses, because we're really sick. And they respond and say, well, you need to go to them. And he's like, I don't think you understand. Like, we can't make it to the bathroom, right? This is how bad it is. We're all that sick with food poisoning. So when I saw him being interviewed on the news, it sounded horrible. They're definitely throwing up, but it sounds to me like maybe both things are happening. You got four people in this hotel room.
Mm.
I can only imagine, right?
Trying to get in the bathroom. Yeah,
yeah.
There's no
and
way.
And everybody's sick. If you've ever been sick with food poisoning or like one of those viruses, like the cruise ship virus, norovirus or whatever,
That's the one you got from putting your finger in a stripper's butthole.
Yeah, I've had it twice. I don't know where the second one came from.
Oh, I can fathom a guess.
The first one I was able to trace back. We think. Obviously, I'm not a doctor, but everyone seemed to agree. So this family is
including
sick.
Including doctors.
Yeah. This family is sick, like really, really sick, and he claims that the resort, which is Viva Dominicus Beach, okay, it's a Wyndham resort.
Okay.
That they tell him, you got to come to us. So they continue being sick. It's like he's thinking, all right, I guess we got to try and stop puking long enough to get to the nurse's office. But they can't. So some time passes. They're getting sicker. And he calls again. He's like, we need help. We can't make it to you. So finally, they send some people. Okay. And they look at him and go, oh, my God, we need to get him to a hospital. They go to the hospital. And they're all being treated, getting, I think, IVs or whatever, right? The stuff that you do for food poisoning, giving them anti-nausea stuff. And the mom and one of the sons take a turn for the worse, and they die.
What?
His wife and
from the buffet
died.
What'd they eat?
It doesn't say. It just says
the
buffet.
I'm sure there's other people who ate the buffet.
Right. That's what I want to know, because this lawsuit. Let me play a clip from one of the interviews that he did. But yeah, I've got some questions for sure.
On arriving at the resort in the evening, the Goujon family went to the buffet. Early the next morning, all four of them became violently ill. Goujon says he called the medical clinic at the resort, but says he was told no one could come to their room and that the family had to get themselves to the clinic.
I explained the severity of our symptoms and the inability of any of us to make it to the medical center. And when I say severity, like, we couldn't even make it to the bathroom.
I know what he's talking about.
I've
been there. Where you don't know which you have to make a choice. Mm-hmm. You're like, which one goes in the toilet? You know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Yeah, have you been in that situation before? It's the worst.
No.
You haven't, really? You never been that sick?
I don't think so.
Okay, you would know.
I've been pretty sick, like, you know, where that's happening, but I just got in the shower.
I know that, yeah. You say you get in the shower. And you throw up in the shower?
Well, I didn't throw up.
Oh, the other kind of sick. Yeah.
But I didn't go to the bathroom in there either. I just felt like I was going to.
Okay.
I just laid in the shower for, like, you know, just laying there for a couple hours.
You'd remember if you had the one where you're doing both for,
know,
like, 8 hours.
Yeah, that's never happened. I don't think I've ever had food poisoning.
I got it once from a sushi train, and I assume, because I ate the sushi train, I ate a lot of it for dinner one night, and then the next morning when I woke up, I was very ill. So I assume that's food poisoning.
And then the other one from the stripper's anus.
Well, that was the other norovirus. I got one of the noroviruses. I don't know where the other one came from. I ended up in the hospital the second time I got norovirus because I was throwing up blood because I couldn't stop throwing up. It's the cruise ship virus. It's horrible. So I don't know what virus they had. I mean, they say that this is food poisoning. But imagine this young family, and imagine you go to the hospital. We've all got food poisoning. Okay, we're sick. This sucks. But you're not thinking in that moment.
We're going to die.
I might lose my family members.
No.
Yes, you do, if you've ever been that sick, think like, oh, my God. When I do die, this is what it's going to feel like.
This is one of the reasons why I don't travel outside the United States.
Right.
When they do take me to the hospital, I'm like, I don't know what a Dominican Republic hospital is like.
Right.
I don't know. What does it take for you to be a doctor here?
Yeah.
It could be nothing.
Yeah.
I might know more about the medical field from studying Wet MD than what a doctor does in the Dominican Republic. I'm not saying that's true or not. I could feel that same way if I was in Belarus.
Sure.
I'd be like, what the hell? I don't know what a hospital in Belarus is like. I got a decent idea what it's like in America. Like, you know, the doctors are going to be qualified. They're going to give you the right stuff. It's going to cost you $2.7 million.
Yeah.
And they're going to garnish your wages and ruin your credit over it. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to survive.
Yeah.
I don't know if I feel that way if I go to a doctor in Haiti.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you, that's...
I don't know which one's better, by the way, but...
They could be better.
Right. But, by the way, it could also be better to just go in there and die than to end up with some of these bills that you get when you go here. But
true.
You understand the difference, right?
I do. It's the same thing when we were talking about Canada earlier, and I said I like getting back into the country.
I feel like I got a pretty good idea of what's going to happen if I go to a Canadian
hospital. I do, too, but I'm not positive. Like,
no,
like I said, wait, you're not a citizen? Like, I don't know what happens. I know in the United States...
I feel like I'm going to get good doctors.
Yes, I do.
I feel like I am in London, too.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, of course.
Germany, I feel like I'm going to.
Yes. I would assume that in
these... Smaller countries, I don't know why, but I start to think like, huh, really?
But
Bangladesh?
Well, no.
Don't know anything about it.
No.
Don't know anything about it.
Really poor countries in South Africa. And
but I don't know. Is Bangladesh a poor country? I don't know, but I have no idea what their hospitals are like.
It's not a hospital,
somebody
though, off the top of my head I want to go to, right?
Right, but I'm saying
Libya.
Somebody can tell me Bangladesh has the best hospital care ever. I still would be scared.
I would think the Dominican would have at least decent hospitals just because it is such a tourist attraction. They make all of their money basically from tourism, and there's celebrities with houses down there in the Dominican, and I know the country itself has a lot of poverty and issues or whatever. So I'm with you. I would think it would be decent. I do not think it would be great. And to be honest with you, it's even in the United States, you do the same thing. If I'm at the Lake of the Ozarks and I end up in the hospital, I go, can you please take me to St. Louis, Columbia, or Kansas City?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And people who live there will tell you, you need to get out of here, you know? And so I think that's fair to be like, Dominican, I don't know. Also, though, I don't know that it's the hospital's fault. It sounds more like they should have gotten to the hospital earlier.
Right.
But now, imagine you're the dad, Lazo. So they tell the dad, hey, your wife and one of your kids didn't make it. Now, you and your other son are out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to tell your son, which this guy said he waited until the next day. He had to tell his son, who's 7 years old, you remember what it was like having a seven-year-old,
mm-hmm.
that he would never see his mother or his older brother again.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? Now, at that point, look, if I get food poisoning at a resort, and first of all, I don't expect to die. Let's say, I don't die. Nobody dies in my group. I do think maybe I ask them, like, hey, we all got sick from the buffet. Can we get a discount or something? But I'm probably not going to sue over it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like food poisoning does happen. But if you've got family members who die from it, okay, now this is, I'm suing someone. I just am.
Right.
Aren't you?
Yeah,
but kids died at a resort.
The buffet.
Right, I know.
If they died too, because it doesn't sound like it might not be the buffet.
I want to know if other people got
like
as sick as
it's
they
the buffet,
did.
But
well,
maybe
yeah.
it wasn't.
And that's
maybe
what
they got someone at the beach.
The lawsuit claims that this place, Vivica Dominicus Beach by Wyndham Resort, that they lacked proper hygiene and emergency procedures and did not respond in a timely manner. That's right. The hygiene thing in the buffet is part of the lawsuit, but they also say they should have responded to them
right.
quicker, which I think is fair, too. If you say, hey, we can't make it to the nurses, we're that sick, they should come help you. And, you know, it kind of maybe is a little bit of evidence as to what you're talking about earlier, that you don't know what the medical care is going to be like. Well, if I'm telling you I'm so sick I can't make it to the medical room or the nurse's station or whatever, then you should probably come check on me. And when you don't and my wife and son die, I'm going to sue.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I don't even know.
It's also weird. Like, I've been to Jamaica before, and so have you. It's also weird they have those little medical things.
Yeah.
Because that makes me think, like, well, why there's no doctors in the hospital. Why are these people here? I know it's all-inclusive, but I don't expect that. Like, if I go to, you know, my parents lived in a condo in Sanibel Island. They didn't have a nurse on hand.
No, but resorts do.
They don't have one there. Like, my parents lived at a resort. There was no nurse's stand.
Well, that's like a condominium HOA type thing, though, right?
It was on the ocean. There were people in part of a hotel, and people rented it out in four or five giant pools, and people got married there.
So you're saying that they don't have them in the United States, and they have them in other countries?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't...
Maybe they do in some, but that was a giant, huge resort. If you got sick, you went to the hospital.
Yeah, like, I know they have them on cruise ships, obviously.
Well, obviously, because there's no doctors around them. Why there?
Right, but you're right.
Why not just go to the hospital? We'll call an ambulance. That's exactly what they did at my parents' condo in a resort. If you got sick, they called an ambulance.
Yeah.
If not, they said, hey, there's a minute clinic right up the street.
I guess I assumed that those little clinics, like at the hedonism resort, like if you stepped on a seashell and you're bleeding, that maybe there's someone in there that can stitch you up.
Or
are they just there to, in case you hurt yourself at the resort? I don't know. Maybe it's hard to get to the hospital. You're right.
You think they got those at the Hilton Resort?
I don't know.
No,
you're right. I haven't ever noticed those.
No, like, why is that
probably
there?
Probably isn't a good sign.
No.
Okay, let's be honest. If my family gets sick with food poisoning at a resort, I don't necessarily even think to call the nurse's station because I don't know that they have one.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
My thought is, get an ambulance here and take me to the hospital. Yeah.
And if you call the manager down there, he doesn't say, oh, well, we'll send up our nurse on staff.
Yeah.
He's like, we'll call an ambulance.
Yeah, you're right. So maybe this is what you look for.
Yeah.
If the resort has a little med clinic, then Laszlo says, be wary.
Yeah.
That's all.
Like, who are they hiring?
Why do they have that? What's happening at this place?
Right.
How many people get sick at the buffet?
Why can't you get me to a hospital?
Yeah.
How many people get sick at this place that they need two nurses on staff at all times?
Right.
Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, you're right. Okay. I haven't seen that in the United States. Maybe people on Twitch, twitch.tv/Churchill, will argue and say that they do have them. But you're right. I don't recall ever seeing one of those. I've never thought about this, but I don't recall ever seeing one of those at, like, Myrtle Beach or whatever.
No.
But they are when you go to other countries.
Yeah.
At those resorts.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they, like, don't have real hospitals?
I'm like, why? Must be hard to get in. You can't go.
Yeah, maybe they're like, hey, we're a multi-million dollar corporation, and we know what the hospital is like here.
Exactly.
So we're creating our own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great. Whenever you see, like, that sign says, well, if you get sick, just go here. We have a nurse on staff. I'm always like, why? Why are you so prepared?
Right.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
So... we got two things that we promised we would cover here.
Yeah.
One was the thing I was reading where they were asking people if size matters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not what you think. How big's your TV? Your biggest TV?
I think it's 55 or it's 65.
Okay.
I don't know exactly, but I think it's 65.
Okay. So I remember when, you know, LCDs came out and got popular. And remember, you and I were living in Seattle, and, like, you could buy a 32-inch LCD, and it was, like, $1,000.
Yeah,
that was the cheapest one. They were really expensive. So by the time I got, like, a 42-inch, I thought, this is a big TV. Because when we were kids, and we had those CRT tube square TVs, if you had, like, a 34-inch TV, that was huge.
I had a big one in my house, yeah.
That was huge. And then the other ones, you had to get the if you wanted a bigger one, you had to have one of those big square
cabinet one.
Yeah, cabinet ones.
Which is what I had.
Projected thing. Okay, we never had one of those. I got one of those. Well, yeah, the HD. Mm-hmm. Once it came out with HD, I did get one of those. That was my first HD TV. And then, so that was pretty big. That was probably like 50 inches. But those things were huge. They took up a ton of room.
My dad, when I was growing up, had a giant Toshiba. It was so big. It was probably 55 inches.
Okay, it was like one of those man cave.
But it was CRT like, it had giant French doors on it.
It was furniture.
You open the French doors. It looked like a giant wardrobe.
Yeah.
We had to open it up to see it.
Yeah. Our TV was in a cabinet, too. You open the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And TVs used to be furniture. They sold them, like, look at this, if you go way back. But once everyone just started buying flat screens, then you go, okay, and they started getting cheaper and cheaper.
Right.
And then it's like, all right, well, how big a TV do you need? And I live in a small house. So that might be part of it. But we got a 55-inch TV, and It looks huge. Like, before that, I had a 47-inch or something. Right. Once I got to 55, I've had three 55-inch TVs now in a row. Each time I've needed a new one, I've not gone any bigger. But everyone online is talking about how they want at least a 75-inch TV, whatever. I went to my drug dealer's house the other day, and he's got like a 100-inch TV hanging in his apartment. I was like, ah, because I've seen these TVs kind of like the TCLs and the, yeah, and you can get them for like $1,000.
I was in Costco the other day.
Yeah. So, you know,
you walk by them, you're like, man, that's a big TV for $800.
Do you want a huge TV? 13% of people said they don't want a TV bigger than 50 inches.
Well, I don't see why.
13%.
Women. It's all women.
20% of
people
said.
That's all women. That 13% is all women.
Maybe.
It is. They don't care about it.
You're right. 20% of people said they won't go bigger than 65 inches.
I kind of
shot at them.
It's just, you know, they don't care about that stuff.
If I asked Brooke how big our TV is, she would not know.
No.
And she's talked about it before. Like, that's a huge TV. And she wouldn't know. That's just not a thing. No girl that I've dated, at least, has ever been interested. You go online where people are talking about TVs. I never see women on there talking about it. You know, like, do you want mini LED? Do you want OLED? I've never talked to a woman about that. And I don't know why guys are interested in it.
Mm-mm.
But, and not, obviously it's not all guys. But yeah, I think if I get bigger than 65 in that house, then I'm going to get to the point where I'm
I might only be
100 inch. You got one.
No, well, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, okay.
But I have built-ins.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, like, it doesn't
can't
fit.
Get
right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it already hangs over where the TV should be.
Yeah.
Like, it's like 3 inches on either side.
Mine's on the wall, but it covers the sconces.
I want somebody to come in and take out all those shelves.
Yeah.
And then paint it, and then just hang my TV on the wall there. Then I could go 85, maybe.
Yeah. That's what my brother's got.
Yeah.
It takes up the whole,
I mean, I would do that.
The whole wall in the living room. I had to help him put it up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the entire, he's got, like, entertainment seats. And he's got surround sound, and that TV takes up the whole wall.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Now they've got 100-inch TVs. So I'm trying to be good with 55. I keep telling myself, that's big enough, Reed.
Yeah.
It's taking up a lot of space in here. But, of course, there's part of me. I certainly would not say that getting a TV that's bigger than 65 inches is obnoxious or bad. No, I'm a little envious, obviously.
No.
I'm a little jealous. But I'm trying not to get caught up in, you know, bigger is always better, even though it probably is. So I'm in the group of people that says, go ahead with the 85 inches. That's 12%. 12% said, go ahead, 85. And 6% said 100 inches. Go ahead and give me a 100-inch TV. Now, we've talked about what size we are. You told me your size. I told you my size. Now, the other thing you said you were going to tell me is the first time you saw a vagina, and you say that I know the story about the first time you saw a vagina, but I don't remember that at all.
I had a fake ID.
Yeah?
I was like 15 or 16. I went to a bar, and I picked up a girl. She was like 23, 24. First time I ever had sex.
It was when you saw one?
Well, I mean, outside of a magazine and stuff, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow!
And so she came back. My buddy, his parents were out of town, and so we stayed there. And so he drove us back, and she followed us in a car with her friend.
Well, if you'd never seen one before, did it startle you?
Like a deer in headlights.
Yeah, I mean,
so, you know, I've, you know, done stuff with
pictures.
Girls before, and I knew what the process was.
Okay.
But it was nice. She was older. Like, she was maybe 24 or something. I was probably 16.
Okay.
Nothing against her. She had no idea. I had a fake ID and met her and bought her a beer.
Yeah.
That's how I met her. Like, hey, can I buy you a drink? And then we went back, but I do, like, so we went up to my buddy's bedroom, and she got in bed, and I had been this far before with girls, right? You know, making out and whatever, right?
Sure.
But she obviously had been further than that.
Yeah, she's an adult.
Because once we got into the bedroom, she took her pants off.
Just like in sanctuary. Hey,
because she's like, we're going to have sex. We're
not happy.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, and I remember she took her pants off, and she laid down in bed, and I literally was like a deer in headlights. I just stared at her for what felt like, to me, 5 minutes. But just like, oh, my God. One, this is happening.
Yeah, that's a hell of a
thing. This is happening. This is happening. Two, she looks
great.
Gorgeous, right? Like, what am I going to do? And it was long enough that I stared at her that all of a sudden she grabbed a blanket and she goes, is everything okay?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. And then I just, you know, I just got in bed and started making out with her.
Headlights.
Yeah. Like enough to where she was like, not like freaking out, just like a little bit like, are you all right?
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, no, I'm all right. I'm good.
So you just went straight to it. That's the first time that you saw one in person.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, felt around it, but actually saw one with your own eyes. You had sex with that person.
Right.
But that's crazy.
I had felt one before.
Yeah, but to look at one.
Well, look at one and,
actually see it out in the open.
Just
outside of the magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, and that's where I learned I could just keep going.
Sure, because I was going to ask if you had like an American Pie moment when you're staring at her naked, if you were like, oops, hold on, just give me a second.
Right away. Like, within a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad. And then I just kept going.
Yeah.
Like, four times.
Yeah. Well, you said
I was like,
16?
I can't stop. Well, I mean, like, at some point, she was like, we have to stop.
Right. You're like,
and I was like,
I don't
want
to. How long is it going to take to find someone like you again?
Right. I'm like, I don't want to. Let's just keep going. Right. And then she was like, oh, my God, I'm going to marry you. That's what she said. Because I think she was like, this guy. Like, she thought that I hadn't. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, we're six times into this.
Let's keep going. Man, 16.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a crazy thing that is. Mm-hmm. And why does it happen?
Right. I've been chasing that dragon ever since.
Absolutely. We all have. We all have. I mean, that is, we all remember that feeling.
No, also, she was wearing a jean, like, miniskirt thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, a band shirt. Oh, man. My Bloody Valentine, maybe?
Okay.
One of those shoegaze bands. Maybe Ride. One of those. But she had white pantyhose on.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And like black kind of like, you know, boots.
Wow.
But like short boots, you know what I'm talking about? They were popular in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, 80s boots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that feeling.
Man.
That feeling. Just, you can never recreate it, though. Poncho's right. You are chasing the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just can't. There's something about
calling?
That time. I don't know. Someone's been trying to call me. I guess I'll find out if there's an emergency.
Where is it answering? Oh, they hung up. We missed them.
Tell you about...
Well, when's the first... Oh, you paid a...
I didn't pay anybody.
It was a girl. She was neurodivergent.
No, she wasn't. You always tell the story like
you told
were
me that until that became cancelable, and then you just leave that part out of the story.
Okay. Well, first of all,
but years
I was
ago, you said
grade.
You were like in the second grade, and your buddy was like, hey, let's go out and talk to Brenda. She's got a mental problem.
No, that's not what he said. He said, hey, Reed, do you want to see something? And I was like, what? He's like, you got to come here. He was my best friend, right? And he was like, you got to come here. So I run over, we're out on the playground, and Jessica comes up. She was in our class, and obviously, Mitch, my buddy, had already done this before. He's staring at her, and he goes, hey, Jessica, do it again for Reed. And she pulled her pants down, and there it was. And I was like, whoa. And then she pulls her pants up and runs off. And he's like, can you believe? And I was like, let's see it again. Let's see. How do we get to see it again, right?
Mm-hmm.
That became my obsession. I tell her that I need to see it again.
And did you?
I didn't get to see a good look at it. So she showed it to me a second time a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
that
I just,
when you made out with her?
And so then, no. I was in second grade. So then I didn't know anything about... you know, I was in second grade.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's not, we're not adults at that point.
No,
so
I'm aware.
When I saw the first adult one at summer camp, I was very, very surprised by how different it was.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
So there was a grown woman's?
Yes.
Right.
And you know how they look different?
Yeah, well, some of them.
Some of them, yeah.
Like, and they don't shave it.
And in the 90s, at this time in the 90s, this woman, I mean, it was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can imagine. I was shocked.
Yeah.
I thought something was wrong.
You did?
Yeah, and I had to tell my buddy. He goes, what's wrong? And I said, I didn't know how to admit to him because I'm thinking, you know, this must be normal. I don't know. What do I say? So I just said, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's hairy, huh? You know,
mm-hmm.
something like that. And he goes, oh, you don't like him like that. And I was like, yeah. He goes, you like him shaved. Now, I'd never heard that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I go, yes, I guess... I guess I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time that I saw, you know. So then after that, you're right. You don't see them for a while. You are around them, and you may even, you know.
Yeah, touch them.
Yeah, but you don't see it for a while.
Mm-mm.
Man, you're deer in the headlights moment. That's
there
quite
was something else, man.
That's quite a story. That's way better than
first time
sex
I ever had
field.
Sex.
Yeah. And did you ever see her again? Like run into her?
Like, now?
No, like, after that. Did you ever see her again?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She called my house one time. Like, yeah, I thought it was great. She called my house one time when I was at school. And my mom was...
You gave her your home number?
Yeah. She'd call at night or whatever. I'd talk to her.
What?
But then she ended up calling, like, you know, at like noon or something. My mom was like, he's at school.
No.
And
way.
I came home and my mom was like, yeah, like a 40-year-old stripper call you because she sounded like an adult. You know what I mean?
Right. Hi, this
I was like,
Nancy.
Ah, God damn it.
What did your mom do?
My mom just said he's at school.
Right, but what did she do to you? Was she mad? Was she asking you questions?
No, she's just like, are you dating an older woman? What the hell's wrong with you?
Grown woman calling the house?
Yeah, that's, she sounded just like you. That is exactly what she did.
Mortified.
You got a grown woman calling the house. Oi, vey, oh, what have we done?
God.
And I said, what have we done? What did you tell her? She said, I told her you were at school. I'm like, why would you do that? Tell her I'm at work. She's like, you don't have a job.
Tell her you're the cleaning lady.
I'm like, oh, no. So she's like, I talked to you. Maybe it was your mom or your sister or something.
Oh.
And she said you're at school. I'm like, yeah, I'm taking some classes.
There you go.
That's all I said. So, yeah, I'm taking some
taking
classes.
Some classes.
Just to get them off my ass. You know, I still live with my parents. Yeah. Idiots.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo.
What was your favorite concert T-shirt when you were young? Were you, I can't decide if you were like the kind of kid in junior high who wanted to wear a lot of concert T-shirts or if you were more of like a polo guy. Obviously, I didn't know
I'm more
you,
of a polo guy.
Okay.
I had concert T-shirts, but, you know.
I don't know if it was the same at your school, but at mine, it was junior high and high school, but it was really junior high. In junior high, a lot of people wore concert, band shirts, whatever,
sure.
Concert tees. And it sort of automatically put them in this group. There was a ton of people that wore Marilyn Manson shirts. There was a ton of people that wore Chili Peppers shirts. A ton of people that wore Nirvana shirts, you know, and... Like the Marilyn Manson kids, the more graphic the T-shirt, the more it showed like your parents care a little bit less. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like your parents let you do things that my parents wouldn't let me do. But I don't wear a lot of concert T-shirts now. I do still have that feeling when I go to a concert sometimes, like I better get the T-shirt to prove that I was here. But I don't have a lot of them that I wear anymore. I think I've got a whole T-shirt somewhere. And I've seen you in a Foo Fighters T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just reading this thing from Loudwire, and they're talking about the band. They did a study to figure out which bands have the most valuable shirts, concert T-shirts.
Okay.
And the top 10 artists were...
I'm trying to think which ones I have now. I have a Social D, a Foo Fighters.
I've seen the Foo Fighters one. I've probably seen the Social D one, too.
Yeah. I know I wear it sometimes on the weekend. I have a whole one.
Yeah, so do I. I think that's the one I have right now that's still sort of in rotation. I don't think I have any other bands in... my closet right now. When I was a kid, I was Rage Against the Machine. That was the shirt I wanted.
Right.
I wanted the Evil Empire. I wanted any Rage Against the Machine shirts, and there were a lot of kids with those, too. That was my favorite. I finally got the black Evil Empire cover, you know? And that was my favorite. My mom made a quilt out of it.
Oh, nice.
She sewed my concert tees into a quilt. But, yeah, I got one now. So these are
an AIDS quilt?
No, it wasn't an AIDS quilt.
I'm just asking.
Why? What, that makes no sense.
I don't know. Didn't they make AIDS quilts out of shirts or something?
I don't know. I do remember something about...
I feel like you told AIDS me about a movie quilts. Or something
I
you watched. Like
yeah, the old woman it. Smoked marijuana. I don't remember.
Yeah, you told me just like last week you told me that.
Well, you want to know the most
I'm just
valuable.
Listening to you trying to learn.
Pearl Jam, $171. Kanye, $179. Paul McCartney, $180. Green Day, $6. GNR, $188.
Mm-hmm.
Outkast, $225. Get this. Number three is Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, that'd be good.
$235. And then Chili Peppers, $241. And Nirvana, $279. But the Grateful Dead has the highest valued shirt. It sells for $2,750.
Wow.
It was from 1994, and it has a large black panther on the front of it. If you got one of those, it's worth almost $3,000. So maybe I shouldn't have cut those shirts up and turned them into quilts, huh? I'd like to wear that. What do you think? Can I wear? Is it, you know, it's in my 40s. If I wear a Rage Against the Machine shirt to work, that's okay, right?
Yeah, no one under their 40s should wear one.
You're right. You're right.
You know what I mean, it's like I have this Sub Pop hat.
Yeah.
People are like, you're too old to wear it backwards.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, everyone else is too young.
Yeah.
If you're not in Gen X, you don't wear your hat backwards.
Right.
I know when it started. Ken Griffey Jr. did it. Like, that's not, this is how we wear them.
And
you don't get to, if you're 22 Gen Z or whatever, you don't get to wear it. You don't get to wear your hat backwards. It's a definitive Generation X thing.
And if you've got a Rage Against the Machine shirt, I assume you got it at Kohl's or something, right?
Right,
it's not
yeah.
real anymore.
Yeah.
Not real. You're right. You're right.
No.
The ultimate one, though.
Wear a Pearl Jam shirt if you're our age.
Like, what band T-shirt do you see that you think the owner of the t-shirt knows nothing about the band, the most often it's that Misfit shirt. That Misfit shirt is so famous. And when you see someone in that Misfit shirt, when you see a 20-year-old girl at the gas station in that Misfit shirt, do you think she listens to the Misfits?
No, if you ask her to name two albums,
there's like a 2% chance. Right. It's got to be the lowest.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo. You've been joking around saying you're not a football fan, but I know you are a football fan.
I am.
And, of course, this week there's all this talk about, what kind of food are people buying? What kind of parties are they throwing?
I haven't even started thinking about that, have you?
Not at all. And I saw...
Are you going to have people over?
No. And I haven't for a long time.
You'll have, like, your sister-in-law over, won't you?
She might come over. Yeah, she might. I don't know, though. Honestly, I know that...
She dating someone
the
nowadays?
Yeah. So the last game...
How's
last
that going? I saw a picture of the four of you guys doing something on some sort of social media.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we went out to dinner once.
Yeah, I might have saw a picture.
Yeah, I don't see her as much now. She got a boyfriend. Yeah. I know last year it was just me and Brooke watching the game. And I also know that people, when they get together for playoff games and stuff like that, I've done that in the past. I really like having control of the remote and kind of watching it alone. I mean, when Brooke's here, it's okay, but she's not always,
she's not engaged in the game, right?
She is, but not to the extent that I am. So she doesn't care if I rewind. She's like, what are you looking at? I'm like, I just want to see, was that a catch? It looks like it hit the ground. That sort of thing. When you've got a bunch of people over, that's going to annoy them. When you're constantly trying to pause and rewind your crappy DVR and, rewatch a play or whatever, and now I'm a few minutes behind, that drives people crazy, right? So, I don't know, I kind of like watching it alone, but I also think that it's because it's my team. There's a difference there. Sure. I think if it's not your team, then getting together to watch the game is different. I'm much more open to it.
Because you don't care that much about the game.
Right. If my brother said, hey, come over, we're watching the game or whatever, I've watched the, games with you in the past, a couple Patriots Super Bowls, I remember those. Sure. That's...
It's fun, but it's about drinking and hanging out.
This is different.
You want to watch your team.
Right? I feel like it's different. This thing that just came out, they say 1 in 6 Americans plan to watch at a party with friends. And, I guess I would have thought that number's a little bit higher because I thought, it's like everybody in the country watches the damn game. So I just thought a lot of people got together. At least like you said, even if it's just an in-law or something, there's someone else at your house usually. But they say it's 15% that plan on... watching it with someone. 28% of people said they're more excited by the Puppy Bowl than the actual game. 28% said that.
Yeah.
21% said that they will bet on the game. Now, you already bet on the game, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I would have guessed that number is a little higher now. I wonder if that will actually be higher, just with all the legalized sports gambling and everything else. Because when they did the poll, how many people haven't downloaded an app yet, haven't given it a shot? I don't know. The people who said that they'll only watch the game if they care about the teams who are playing that year, that was like 26%, 24%, depending on men and women. I mean, that's my whole thing. I guess I always care about the teams a little bit because I like football. So there's a lot of people that watch the game who are just getting together because it's a reason to get together on a Sunday.
It's a fun time.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who aren't watching games every Sunday. I like watching games on Sunday.
Me too.
I like watching highlights of games I didn't get to see on Sunday night.
Of course, because you're a football fan.
Right, so during the game, I want to watch the damn game. And if you go to someone's house, and they've got it on this little TV, no one knows where the controller is. There's no volume.
They're excited about the commercials.
They're excited about the commercials. Yeah. I can't do that.
Right. No, I'm with you.
I can't do it.
I like big Super Bowl parties.
Yeah. I just, maybe it's an age thing, too. But I like to watch them.
I don't ever really like them. I like watching, I like football.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't need 20 people there.
I never really liked to get together in groups, but I did feel like... cynical person or a bad person for turning down an invite or not hosting sometimes and having people over. The Chiefs are in the playoffs.
I can have buddies over that are into the game like I am.
Yes, they have to be equally into it.
Yeah, of course.
Because then they won't care that you're rewinding because they understand why you're saying, was that really a catch?
Right.
Were they giving us that?
Yeah.
That ball, wait a second, it's on the ground. Doesn't look like he has control of it. What is going on?
Did you see that a few times?
What God thing?
Mahomes tweeted, thank God.
Okay.
And then, you know.
He talks about God a lot.
That God on, like, the original God on Twitter.
God Twitter?
Yeah.
It's back?
Yeah. Well, it's been back, and okay. It just reposted and said, don't thank me. No one wants to see you win another Super Bowl, roughing a passer, blah, blah, blah. This was not me. It was the devil. And then that original devil came on afterwards. It was like, we got this pack.
Oh.
It was funny.
I mean, people really hate us now.
Oh,
it's so bad. It's
everybody
so bad.
Hates it.
All the more reason to watch it alone.
By the way, even though, let me say this, because I do root for the Chiefs. I do. I live in this city, and it's good for the city. It's good for the company that I work at. It's good for my kids. Well, my youngest kid is a big Chiefs fan. I root for him. I do. It's hard because they're so goddamn good, right? But if you are a diehard Chiefs fan, you've been through them, you know, every year, blah, 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 blah. Everybody hates you, even more reason to kick their ass.
Exactly.
I remember being that, like, there was no better feeling in the world than being a Detroit Pistons fan when they were the bad boys.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, they're thugs and blah. And I was like, we're going to kick your ass. Like, it was the best feeling in the world. So, you know, like, relish it, man. Like, you're good enough now that everybody hates you.
Yeah.
They hate you. Including me, and I live here, and yeah. I still root for you, but I still hate you. Like I'm like, God, I hate this.
That's because you are a football fan, and yes, you can be fans of other teams. I rooted for Seattle when I lived there.
Right, yeah.
I still keep an eye on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't change what's number one, and you can never replace it.
And it's pure envy, jealousy, and hatred.
You can never move. And Detroit is great, and people saying they're the best team in the NFL. Of course.
Pure jealousy, envy, and hatred.
And so us in Chiefs Kingdom.
Right, you guys got to just circle the wagon and really go kick your ass again.
And
enjoy it.
Yeah, it's all the more reason. But the thing is, like, the first time, it's like when the Royals got to World Series, you know, that was the first time in my life. But then the Chiefs getting that first Super Bowl, it is such a scary feeling because a loss at that level, that's where you get tense. I mean, I'm always tense because I'm a football fan.
Right.
But the thought of them losing.
It would be bad if they lost this year. Not because, look, I mean, what you said earlier, even though you were just being a condescending prick like every Chiefs fan, but what you're saying is, you know, this would be a bad one because this is big, man. If they can win, this is big. Like, yes. It's big. It changes everything. Like, it's stuff that nobody's ever done before.
Yes, yes. And so that's what I'm saying. It's all the more painful if things go wrong.
Yeah.
And that's why I really don't want people around. Just right. In case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I'll text you right when that first
I know you will. I'll feel my phone buzzing, and then I'll see you making fun of Nick Wright. I'll see those GIFs start flying in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, I'm blocking you. I can't watch Chiefs games. You're texting me.
That was Nick.
I know.
I just put my phone down. I know they're coming, and then when the game's over, I look. Oh, there he is. But, again, all the more reason to root for the Chiefs.
Exactly.
All the more reason to watch it alone. If you want to watch it with people, that's fine. Just make sure, if you're a fan, that the person who's hosting is equally as big a fan.
Yeah.
You have to make sure. Because if they're not, there could be talking during the game. They could pause it and get behind. And now you're three. No.
We got to go. You got to watch with other fans.
Yes.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
We are done.
That's it.
All right.
Good to see you.
I got to pee.
Okay, there's a facility here, or you can wait till you get home.
No, I'm going to use the facility here.
Okay.
Hey, Luka Doncic?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Sure.
Anthony Davis is easier to say.
It sure is.
Good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.